Hi, I'm Skip Nipper. Welcome to Skip's Corner, the podcast where I tell you about not only Nashville's great baseball history and traditions,
shot to right, a one-hop liner,
but certainly about its past. And you will hear a little bit about its present and future, too.
Yes, he can. It makes the waist-high catch.
There are great stories about Tom Wilson Park, Herschel Greer Stadium, Sulphur Dell, and the players, coaches, and fans who love everything about baseball. And every once in a while, you will get to hear from a special guest who will share their fondness and even passion for the great game.
It's a high fly ball down the right field corner, going way back, hits a leadoff home run.
I wrote a story this past week about Jeff Peoples, one of the most dominating athletes ever from Nashville. And if you'd like to read it, you can find it by going to sulphurdell.com or go to baseballinnashville.com. Either one will take you to the same website. And it's the main story there. I hope you enjoy reading that. In writing that story, it brought back memories I have of playing as a 15-year-old in the Nashville Babe Ruth League. When I was too old for Little League, which was for 9 to 12-year-olds, there was really no place for me to play as a 13-year-old, as I like to say, although maybe I wasn't needed, although I probably was not good enough to play otherwise. But I do remember Joe Casey, the future Metro Police Chief, tried to build a 13-year-old team sponsored by the police department. Now, he had some great teams in the police department, teams in Babe Ruth, and he actually took one of those teams to the World Series championship. Now, there were a few practices for our team under Coach Casey, but the team was abandoned, probably because there were not enough boys to try out. I really don't remember that part, but I do remember one practice where my friend Dennis Ball bunted at a ball thrown by Mr. Casey. If you remember, usually after a hitter took his swings at practice, the coach would say on the last ball, try to bunt. And do they do that anymore? And when Dennis turned to bunt, the ball came off of his bat and hit him in his glasses, and it left a cut over his eye. Now, I don't know why I may have remembered that, although it is good to remember Dennis in any way. He was such a good friend in school and high school especially. He was a good football player, and I know his family misses him dearly. So I played church league softball as a 14-year-old on the Memorial Lutheran Church team. That was our home church. Played mostly at first base, but also in the outfield. And as a left-hander, I was destined for those positions. And I was happy to be playing, even if it was softball and not baseball. I'm just kidding. I love softball, too. But I was lucky to be asked to try out for a Babe Ruth team the next year as a 15-year-old. A team that was sponsored by Knight Drugs, that's K-N-I-G-H-T, of which I have no recollection of Mr. Knight, nor where his business was located. I think a man named King had a son playing on the team. Yes, I do remember that. Billy King was the son. And he asked Dad if I would be interested, and I was glad to be able to give it a try. I wanted to play again. The team was coached by a man named Wally Journey, and I was lucky. Once again, I've been lucky all my life to make the team as an outfielder. And that's enough about me. It was a really good team, and it joined other teams in the Babe Ruth Western Division: Nashville Bridge Company, Woodbine Lions, Bordeaux Civic, United Builders, and First Nazarene all had teams to vie for the Western Division regular season championship. Nashville Bridge Company, or Nabrico, was a team of black players. They won the pennant and had great players, including Donnell Stone, Milton Jones, and Charles Carruthers, coached by John Howard. Dickie Burton and Sam Wallace were the best players on the Bordeaux team. Randy Gray and Ricky Pearson from United, and Don Newell and Mike Scruggs, my old high school teammate, lived down the street from me and my family. They were tops for First Nazarene. And our team included a great player who could do just about anything. His name was Jeff Woodcock. He was all everything at Maplewood High School and went on to play football at Kentucky, and I believe in the pros. Mike Regan, David Roark, Chili West, and Billy King were really good ball players on Knight Drugs, too, and I remember them well. At some point, future Hendersonville High School head coach Mike Hendricks joined us. And I think he was a little younger. Maybe he was just 14. But even at an early age, had great promise, which he fulfilled in his years of amateur ball later. And I remember Coach Journey was assisted by a great player playing for Post 5 in the Connie Mack League at the time, Joe Keefe. He was named Mr. Baseball by the old-timers in 2017. And if memory serves me right, there were six teams in our division, while the Eastern Division had eight: Knights of Columbus, National Life, Police, Lipscomb, Fire Department, Charlie's Drive-In, Sportsman Store, and Nashville JCs. I think I've got that right. Some of the players I remember are Hardy Lavender of Knights of Columbus, Wayne Garland and Chuck Boyette of National Life. Boy, they had a great team. Butch and Terry Stinson of the Police. And, of course, Larry Schmitto was the coach of National Life. And Jeff Peebles, who I wrote about, the great ball player that he was, played for the JCs. I remember high school friend and all-around great athlete Doug Langford, played for Sportsman Store along with Isaac Litton high school rivals Sam Young and Buddy Harper. Here's another thing I remember very well. Sports writer Bob Tietelbaum covered our league in the Nashville Tennessean and other amateur leagues from the Dixie League, Knot Hole, Little League, Babe Ruth, and Connie Mack like no other before nor since. And he umpired some too, but always gave great coverage of our seasons. Well, our Knight Drugs team finished second in the Western Division, and National Life, as one might expect, won the Eastern Division. I was fortunate enough to have been selected to the All-Star team and coached by John Howard of the Nashville Bridge Company team. And he was a great coach, and he did just that, coached. He seemed to have a demeanor that was perfect for the job. And with the state tournament slated for Nashville, we played against Madison in a best 2-of-3 series with the winning team to be the host team, bypassing the district tournaments. We won that right to host the state tournament, and we made it to the semifinals of the double elimination tournament, but that meant we ultimately had to face Jeff Peebles or Wayne Garland and the Eastern All-Stars, and we faced them both. The first time was on July 21st, that's 1966, with Jeff Peebles on the mound. And guess what? He struck out 13 and he held us to two hits, one each by Sam Wallace and Mike Scruggs. And the Eastern team beat us 15-1. It was a drubbing. But our team came back to beat Morristown West in a doubleheader, two games to advance back to the finals, where we faced the Eastern All-Stars once again. But we didn't fare any better because 2 days after Peebles beat us on July 23rd, Wayne Garland held us to two hits, both by Milton Jones. And Garland struck out 11. I do not know who the other eight were, but I was three of them. And while Eastern earned a trip to the Southeastern Regionals in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, according to Bobby Tietelbaum, our Western team was the first host team to make it to the finals of the state tournament. Now today, I can look back on that season as a special one. It was satisfying to have so many great teammates, great coaching, and all have resulted in great memories, including striking out against Wayne Garland and having to face Jeff Peebles, two of the all-time great players from Nashville.